There it is. There's the win. I've got another tip of the week.
Ooh.
You'll never get anywhere without our help. It's tip of the week.
And I'll tell you for why.
Okay.
I was listening to a podcast about true crime.
Mm-hmm.
And
do you like true crime podcasts?
I do.
Do you?
Yeah.
I do not. I really don't get on with them.
I don't know why I like them.
Yeah.
I think
they're really popular. So yeah. They obviously people do like them, but I just don't like them.
Yeah. I don't know what it is about them. It is what I put on when I don't need to listen, which is a bit weird because then odd word you do catch is of a gruesome murder, which is probably a weird thing to have in
like in your psyche.
Yeah,
I would think so. Yeah. Like I listen to fun podcasts generally. Like I think that's what it is. I like my.
So you have nice sounds and laughter.
Yeah, I like my art to be escapist. Although I do listen to like The Dollop, which is like American history. And most of that is horrific. Like it's horrible history, but it's still like. They still make it funny.
Yeah,
I don't know. I just can't deal with it with true crime. I think it's the proximity as well. Like if it was crime from 200 years ago, I'd probably be all right with it.
Yeah.
It's that a lot of true crime is like current.
It is,
or investigative about.
They're the ones I find most interesting.
Really?
But I don't know why.
I tried listening to that.
Morbid fascination.
Yeah. I tried listening to that Theranos one you told me about. I couldn't stand it. Could not stand
it. So that's sort of more like investigative.
Yeah, didn't like it.
I listened to those. And also, like, oh, let's talk about this serial killer.
Yeah.
For an hour.
Reviewing what he did.
Yeah. Top 10 serial killers.
I imagine that's a thing. I imagine it is.
It will be.
But weird, like, I love reading about it on Wikipedia. I have no problem with reading about it. It's the listening to it I don't like.
I mean, all true crime podcasts are all the same. So.
Yeah.
But I was listening to one,
mm-hmm.
and they mentioned. Somebody in this true crime story played handball.
Oh.
And the two presenters had no idea what handball is.
Really?
And I was like, really?
Americans,
none?
Were they?
No. British.
Really?
And I was like, really? None at all?
Yeah.
Like, they looked it up and it was all brand new. Like, they didn't go into detail, but it was completely brand new to them.
To be fair, it is quite a niche sport in the UK, isn't it?
Like, it is.
We know about it. Because we do a sports podcast.
Well, that's what I thought. I was like, well, maybe this is that. It's just in my wheelhouse, and I don't really have an appreciation for other people's understanding of sports. So it made me think how to pretend you know about sports.
Nice. This is good.
So I found an Esquire article, which is how to talk about sports when you know nothing about sports.
This is brilliant because I'm sure I've done this over the years.
Yeah. So there's quite a lot of preamble, but this is essentially how to talk about sports in a social setting.
Yeah.
When you know nothing about sports.
Yeah.
So he's
not during a game, but you're not watching a game while this is going on, or?
So yeah, a lot of these tips are for that situation.
Oh, okay. When, if it's on the TV at a party or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you want to go, so the sort of background is like he likes to go to the bar with these guys after work.
Yeah.
But they go to sports bar because they're into sports.
Yeah.
But he still wants to join.
Yeah.
But doesn't know the sports.
Yeah. Fair.
So these are his own personal tried and tested techniques.
Okay. Is this American?
Yes.
Okay.
He's an American chap.
Okay.
First one, find one person who is for sure rooting for the same team you are pretending to root for.
Not what I thought this was going to be. Yeah.
React when they do.
Just mirror
yeah.
them.
Yay!
Oh, I need a wee as well. Yeah. What I thought it was going to say was find one person who knows less than you and pick on them.
Oh, what do you know about sports, George?
What a dickhead.
So this is key, especially in cities to which people have moved from other states. If you cheer along every time you hear cheering, you're probably rooting for both teams. Which should be allowed, right? It's not.
I guess that does depend on where you are and like how big the game is. Because normally, yeah, if you're in a bar and you hear cheering, if you're in like a city and they're watching the city playing on the screen, they will only cheer.
Yeah, you only when the hear city for scores. One. Yeah, you only hear it for one team.
You definitely wouldn't hear it at the other. If you're at the event, if you're literally at the sporting event, yeah, you might hear cheering on both.
And but, then it's really awkward to be the only one cheering in.
Yes.
The whole tent.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that is true. But it's usually quite easy. And again, it's hard for us to say, but it's quite easy to work out which team is which.
Yes. Yeah.
By just asking someone. Yeah. That's all you need to do.
Oh, but then you show your naivete.
Oh, and you're trying to
yeah, pretend that's true. You know the sports.
That's a good point. Yeah, sorry. I'd forgotten that was the whole object yeah, of the thing. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I've turned up at like non-league games and like tried to work out the score. Like,
oh yeah,
they quite often have the scoreboard yeah, up.
It's too far away.
But yeah. Well, also it'll just say 4-2. Like, it won't say which yeah, team is yeah, which. And like, uh-oh. Yeah. And also, like, they're playing in colour. I don't know which team's which in these
yeah,
colours.
That's true.
Just trying to work it out from it can be quite hard to feel your way yeah, out sometimes.
So I think this is possibly my favourite one in yeah, here. Drop one sports comment, then excuse yourself. Did the crowd in the bar react in a way that indicates something big just happened on the TV? Get yourself involved in that sports moment. Say something you might hear a strong sportscaster say, such as strong D.
No.
And then walk away before anyone can engage you in conversation.
You can't say strong D. You can't say that. That's so risky.
Especially if, like, there's been a big reaction. It could be a goal.
Yeah. Yeah. And usually they won't react that high for a strong yeah, defensive play. That's not usually where the big cheers come from.
And it really depends on your level of sports knowledge. Because if it is that low, you just, good basket.
Yeah, wrong sport.
Mic drop.
I'm out, lads. I'll get me coke. That's such a risky bit of advice.
But then, as long as you are going to walk away and never come back.
Well, that's true. But you've not, I don't think you've, well, you may have achieved your goal, but to what end? Yeah. You're never going to see these people again now.
And like, a lot of the preamble was about being at the sports bar
with friends. Yeah. See you, lads. Don't come after me. I don't want to see you.
So, you got to hope that this doesn't happen really early in your night. Like 5 minutes in, you're yeah, like, you've walked out, you're like, oh, just go home then.
Taxi, shall I? I'm trying to think if there is a single phrase, like you could maybe say, oh, the lad's done well, something like that. That's a very...
Yeah, yeah. Sort
of, like you could say that to anything, really.
Or just go...
Yeah,
just that inhale works. Inhale and yeah, breath.
That works, like whether you've done well or badly.
Yeah.
Like, even, especially in England, even if you're 3-0 up, if you go, that might indicate you might still lose 4-3. That's yeah, a very English mindset about things.
Tone is everything here. You want to be emphatic yet aloof, so that if the D was indeed strong, you have spoken the truth. But what if it wasn't even a D?
What does he mean, emphatic and yet aloof? Those two are, they're antonyms. You can't be both.
It's very hard to be both.
It's impossible.
Sure.
You can't be aloofly emphatic. That's impossible.
So that if the D was indeed strong, you have spoken truth. If it wasn't, then you have made the kind of withering comment only a true fan can pull off.
No.
You can't. Understand why. I can't see what he's getting at.
He's
there,
trying to say, oh, strong D.
Oh.
That's what I assume. But that's not aloof. And that's also, you can't walk that line.
I see. If the D wasn't involved at all, you have done high level sports comedy.
No. No, you haven't.
It's a penalty.
Oh, strong D. Or it's like curling or something. There's no defense.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess there is a bit of defense. Yeah, there is a little bit.
But yeah, it's high risk,
very
low reward, I feel.
That advice, that specific phrase is really risky.
Yeah.
There's better ones.
So next tip is maybe quite a common one for any social situation where you don't know enough.
Mm-hmm.
Always be drinking.
Fair, yeah.
I found that after a few drinks, I'm able to pinpoint some small, meaningless thing to become unreasonably angry about, be it the tone of a sportscaster's voice, or the commercial bumper music, or the way fans are waving their arms behind the basket when a guy is taking a free throw.
The last one I'm not really on board with, but the first two are really good. They're really good.
Outside of the sport.
Yeah.
You don't need to know what the sportscaster is talking about to be annoyed at his voice.
Exactly. And
Andy Townsend.
Yeah, precisely. I watched a lot of the WPL recently, the Women's Premier League.
Yeah.
The commentary. God almighty. It made me want to bite my own teeth out. It was horrendous. Oh, God. Even thinking about it, it was so bad.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what sort of media training they'd had, but it wasn't good.
Was it bad because you know the sport?
Possibly.
Would you still be able to comment on how bad it was if you didn't know the sport?
Maybe not. And maybe that was who it was aimed at, because a lot of the comments were so banal. Like, adding nothing. Very Andy Townsend, literally adding nothing, no layers, no like sporting insight, just oh wow, they've hit it, that'll do, that's it, there's no and they would say the most stupid stuff that I guess if you didn't know the sport you wouldn't know was stupid to say, but they were just saying all these like parroted catchphrases and stuff that just
So commenting on a sportscaster's, so this the tone of a sportscaster's voice, quite personal.
It is very personal.
Attack here.
Yeah.
But at least you wouldn't fall foul of...
Exactly.
Of this, at least.
Tone, you can't go wrong with tone of voice.
Yeah.
You can hate anybody's tone of voice.
Yes.
That's fine. But more, I think, is this presentation of the sport, particularly in America, where they have the adverts every 5 seconds.
Yes, yeah.
You can get pissed off at that. Everyone gets pissed off at that.
Yeah.
That's really good advice.
And then boom goes the dynamite. I've blurted the start of a conversation, and that is tangentially sports related. So always be drinking.
Yeah.
And then, in his opinion, get drunk enough, commenting on anything that isn't about sports, and eventually people will join in your conversation.
So that last bit was not another tip.
No,
that was
boom the goes end. The dynamite.
I thought that was a separate tip. I didn't understand it. Yes, I agree.
So
I think that's genuinely quite a good advice.
Yeah,
that last bit.
Steer clear of clothing/hats with sports logos. So someone left a Phillies t-shirt at my pool a couple of years ago. This guy owns a pool. When I tried it on and found that, like most other people's clothes, it fit me better. It entered maximum rotation in my gym wardrobe. And around this time, so he took somebody else's t-shirt and started wearing it.
And he's saying that other people's clothes fit him better than his own clothes.
Yeah.
Is that what they're saying?
That's what he's saying.
So what is he talking about?
Yeah. And like most other people's clothes, it fit me better.
What?
What is Esquire?
I have no idea. Is it a magazine about stealing clothes? Is that what it's about?
It's a gentleman's
Everything
magazine.
Everything feels better when it's stolen.
But around the time that he introduced somebody else's t-shirt into his wardrobe.
Yeah.
People started saying things like, trade Hamels and...
Oh, yeah.
It didn't occur to me for weeks that the shirt...
Yeah.
I mean, why you'd think... I guess you are so naive about sports that you wouldn't even think you're wearing
team shirt. To be fair, I've never fallen afoul of that, but I tell people I'm an Everton fan. I don't follow them enough to know. Like, if somebody actually is a football fan... And says, "Oh, what do you think about Jared Branthwaite?" Oh, fucking hell, I've never seen him play. I don't know. I know he plays for us, but I don't know what, like, transfer him. I don't know. Keep him. Put him on a massive contract.
But you know enough about football that you could make a generic comment.
This, yeah.
Like,
yeah, or. And then just let them talk. That's usually how it goes. I made a mistake when I was in London last year. This is before Harry Kane left Spurs.
Oh, yeah.
I made a mistake. I was drinking with some guys, and I found out they were Spurs fans, and I was like, "Oh, what about Harry Kane then?" Terrible mistake. Oh. What a mistake. I don't know enough about the Kane situation to maintain that conversation. And they knew way too much about this conversation.
I wanted to maintain it.
Yeah, I had to listen to some Spurs fans talk about Harry Kane for 20 minutes. I don't need that. What a mistake.
Yeah. Anybody talking about Harry Kane.
No one needs it.
Next tip, put money on it.
Yeah.
So each year I enter a football suicide pool in which I pick one team a week to win. And if they do, then I survive to next week.
Oh, yeah.
But I can't pick them again. Last person standing takes all the money. Before. And this is a lot of money because there are a lot of sports fans, blah, blah, blah. I found that the prospect of taking all the money makes it easy to care who wins a game.
Yes.
It doesn't make it easier to remember what I've seen after the game is over, but it's a start.
That is all you need, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
I forget to be invested. Yeah, at the time. I forget frequently. Like, I'll get to the end of a match, like watching a match, and I'll be like, what happened in that match? I have no memory of what happened in that match. I enjoyed it at the time.
Yeah.
But I watched so many that I've got no memory of what happened in it. And that's fine, I think.
Next tip is good general advice,
okay. Particularly
if you don't know who's playing and don't know what city they're in, you're in.
This is an odd situation.
But basically, avoid loudly saying that a player sucks.
That is good advice. That's very good. Well, again, like, you might get into...
Starts a conversation.
Yeah, you might get into
Starts
a conversation.
Conversation.
Yeah. Like, your opinion being bad, that's what sports is all about.
True.
Having random opinions about stuff. That's what people love about sports.
I feel like that's easier to do and get away with in America.
Like, saying that someone sucks?
Yeah.
Why? Why do you think it's better in America? To get away with, that's true, because people are very passionate here.
Yeah, so if you could say you're in a Blues pub,
yeah,
and you said a Blues player sucked,
yeah,
you would then have to be able to pass off that you are a fan.
Absolutely, that was what I was
going to say. A Blues fan, and be like,
Blues fans can take the piss out of any Blues player they want.
Yeah,
and all the Blues fans will back them up.
Yes,
but as soon as a Villa fan says it,
then
you're in trouble.
Yeah, so you might need to, if you do try it.
Yeah.
In the UK over football,
yeah,
you might have to try and back it up, which might
by being a fan of that place or talking in the accent of that place at the very least.
Next tip: learn one story, tell the shit out of it.
That's quite good advice. Fatty Falk, get that story.
Yeah, or what's the? Hey, did you know that Kelly Olynyk?
Oh, Kelly Olynyk, yeah.
Of the Boston Celtics, who injured Cleveland Cavaliers Kevin Love's shoulder, has tweeted, emailed, and called Love time and again, trying to apologize and clear up any misconception that he inflicted the injury intentionally. That's his story, and that's what he's telling time and time again.
Yeah, I mean, that's not a very good story. It's quite a boring story. But I do take the point. I think the point is valid. And if you find a really good story,
yes,
that's perfect. People will love it.
And
especially if you can make it relate to the game that you're watching. That's the most important thing.
Yeah, that is the problem, is if you're watching something completely unrelated, trying to shoehorn it in.
Yeah, you maybe want to learn like two or three that are fairly generic.
Yes. Otherwise, you are spending all your night like on your toes, just like, I missed it. Missed the chance. Wait, it'll come again.
Anything
it'll come
that sounds like Kelly or Olynyk. Anything. Yeah.
By the way.
Love, anything like love.
Final tip. If all else fails, give up, because who cares? Boo. Rubbish. That's not what we're here for.
What? Is that what it actually says?
Yep.
Boo. I'm going to boo that guy.
Life is short. You don't like sports? Good. I don't either. Sports is just... is doing just fine without us.
Oh. That's not what this article was about. He's completely undercut the whole point of writing this article. What a waste of time.
Wasted our time and the listeners' time.
Yeah, not us. We didn't waste the listeners' time. It was him. It was his fault.
Oh, I would absolutely hate to catch a greasy pig.
I don't know. Like, Americans do stuff.
I like to call them longies.
See you, suckers.